Planning Group, Michael Washburn, Exit Realty of the Carolinas, and Jerry Garner, Reverse Mortgage Specialist with Town Bank Mortgage.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk Boomers. I'm Rebecca Imholtz. I'm so very glad that you can listen today. As I mentioned before the break, we have with us the Artistic Director of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra, Charlton Singleton. Welcome, Charlton.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we have had you before on Let's Talk Boomers, and I definitely wanted to have you back to talk about, we'll talk about different things, but I want to start off with the Charleston Jazz Festival.
Yes.
What is that?
The Charleston Jazz Festival. This is actually going to be the second year of the
second year.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's going to take place January 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Three full days of local and regional and world class musicians. There's a youth jazz orchestra now that's going to be participating. So we're looking forward to just three solid days of great music, great energy, and at some great locations. The Wolf Street Playhouse is going to be home, you know, for day one. The second day, which actually I'm going to skip over. The third day is going to be at the Satilli Theater it's sort of like a youth day. We've got some youth groups from various schools in the Lowcountry that are going to be participating, and that's at the Satilli Theater. But that second day, the 22nd, we have 10-time Grammy Award winner Arturo Sandoval, who is extremely talented virtuosic trumpeter. And he's going to come and just electrify that stage in the brand new renovated Gilliard Center. And then we also have, before he plays, we have two-time Grammy Award winner Diane Shore. And the CJO that I lead is going to be backing her. So,
oh my.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic evening.
Wow, it sounds like a fantastic weekend.
Yes, it's going to be just awesome. There's so much great local and regional talent that are going to be participating on that first day, and then you've got these Grammy Award winners that are going to be playing, you know, in that great new facility at the Gilliard Center on the next day, and then we'll have some really awesome upstart, you know, youth musicians locally that are going to be taking it to the stage as well.
That is a wonderful weekend of events. And again, that's January 22nd, which is a Friday.
Correct.
And it goes through Sunday, the 24th.
Yes.
And what is the website that someone listening out there can go to find out all the details?
Very easy. They can go to thecharlestonjazzfestival.com, or they can always go to the Jazz Artists of Charleston's website, which is charlestonjazz.com. And there's a link from that website that would take you to the festival's website.
Okay. Well, that is quite an accomplishment. And so last year was the first year. This is the second year.
Yes.
How did it get started?
During this time of year, there's really not a whole lot that's happening, you know, festival-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big things that are really happening around around town, of course, there's Spoleto and Piccolo Spoleto, and then you have Moja Arts Festival, mm-hmm. and then you have some other things that are happening. But usually during this time of year, there's not really a large festival or big event in January. Siwi comes up, you know, Southeastern mm-hmm. Wildlife, you know, Exposition comes up. A number of people in town got together and thought it would be great to start a jazz festival. And last year was pretty successful, and it's just continued into this year and up in the ante by bringing, like I said, Arturo Sandoval. That's one of the biggest names in the world right now in terms of jazz, and so is Diane Shore.
Mm. Wow. And how exciting that all this is taking place locally, and that it gets to take place at the beautifully renovated Gilliard.
Correct.
Now, you mentioned to me before the show started that since we last spoke, you have another new title.
Yes.
And tell our listeners about that.
Well, in November, I was named the inaugural artist in residence at the Gilliard Center, which is, I feel a tremendous honor in that position. And basically, my job is to go out into schools and be as much of an advocate and resource to students and teachers as I can about arts education, more specifically because of my area, music education. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting out into all of the, as many schools as I can in the Tri-County area, not just Charleston County, but the Tri-County.
Well, anyone who's known you for a while, and I count myself fortunate to be in that group, knows how well-deserved that title is for you and that honor.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Now, Charlton, let's talk about the jazz artist of Charleston. What exactly is that?
Jazz artist of Charleston basically is just a... you know, a community of musicians and advocates and just anyone that wants to promote that music here in Charleston. Charleston has a very rich history of jazz, and you can look at history and look at the facts, and it's very debatable that we are one of the founding cities of jazz, and most people talk about New Orleans being the birthplace of jazz, but that's not quite totally as accurate as it's made to be. The truth is that there are a number of cities, including Charleston and places like Savannah and New Orleans, that had a lot to do with the formation of what we know of it as jazz today. Back then, people didn't think of it as jazz. It was just, you know, people would improvise and change the music around, mostly like military marches and things like that. But Charleston definitely has their foot in that, in the door, and can say that they have, you know, a claim of being a birthplace of jazz. Now, the thing that, as an advocate of that, we try to get the word out. The thing that we know, we've been taught that New Orleans is the birthplace of jazz, and everybody promotes that. And if you ask the casual person in New Orleans, you know, about jazz, they can talk to you for hours, days, you know, and it's not quite the same here in Charleston, but we're working on that.
Well, you're doing a great job of getting the word out and educating the community.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we're striving to do.
And is that part of this desire to be part of an educator with the jazz history in Charleston and exposing folks to jazz? Is that how you started with the Charleston Jazz Orchestra? How did that begin?
The orchestra actually, the orchestra came up. There are a number of jazz orchestras that are popping up all over the United States. It's sort of a rebirth of that. You know, back in the 30s, that was the thing. You know, there was, you know, bands like Duke Ellington's Orchestra, Count Basie. You had, you know, Fletcher Henderson. You know, all of these, they were large groups of anywhere between 15 to 20 musicians, you know. And so nowadays, in the present, there are a lot of orchestras that are popping up all over the United States. Probably one of the most famous orchestra right now is Jazz at Lincoln Center's orchestra, led by Wynton Marsalis. And in addition to the normal, you know, repertoire that you would hear, you know, like Take the A-Train or String of Pearls or anything like that, you have a lot of orchestras that are thinking out of the box. Like, for example, the Charleston Jazz Orchestra's new season is going to begin in February. And we're going to do a show based off of music from the 30s, but then the next show following that is the music of Stevie Wonder.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. You know, so if you can think of clever ways to present that music, you know, or, you know, we're blessed to have a lot of really cool and great arrangers here in town. You can really have some interesting and great performances, which we've been very fortunate to have. So this will be our eighth season. you know, so we're very excited about the orchestra.
That's wonderful. And if you're just tuning in, this is Let's Talk Boomers. I'm Rebecca M. Holtz, and we are talking today with Charlton Singleton. He is the artistic director of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra. He's talked to us about this wonderful upcoming festival, the Charleston Jazz Festival, that's starting January the 22nd. It goes through the 24th. I encourage you to go check out all the wonderful events associated with that weekend. It's the CharlestonJazzFestival.com. And Charlton also brought with him a couple of nice giveaways for one of those very special events that we'll talk about at the end of the show. Now, Charlton, let's go back to your title, Artistic Director of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra. What does that mean exactly?
Basically, the Artistic Director sort of, I guess, handles the direction in which the orchestra is going to go from an artistic, you know, just like, point of view.
But I've seen you direct before, and you don't stand still.
Never.
You move.
I do. But, you know, I try to come up with the various themes that we have, and I do that by, you know, getting, you know, input from some of the members of the orchestra as well. But coming up with the themes, figuring out the repertoire that we're going to do, making sure that we have the personnel on stage. So that's primarily, you know, usually what my job, you know, as the artistic director, you know, is. But like you said, when I'm on stage, sometimes I just don't like to stand still. It's too infectious. It's, you know, I got to move, you know. And this one little kid one time said, artistic director, you didn't direct anything. You just danced around all day, you know. So, you know, but I had fun.
And people were still following you and playing, right?
Definitely.
Even though you were moving around.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So for someone listening out there who does not come from a musical background, but enjoys music and in particular jazz, they want to contribute to the jazz scene in Charleston. How can they do that?
Well, one thing that we always ask that everybody to continue to support live music, you know, for example, there are a number of great restaurants and establishments around town that have live music, some of them every night of the week. For example, High Cotton. High Cotton has music seven nights a week. It could be a small little trio. It could be a duo. It could be a group of five people. There's the Charleston Grill. There is just a number of places that have great music. And on the Jazz Artists of Charleston's website, actually, which is charlestonjazz.com, there is a link on there entitled Jazz Around Town, and it gives you a calendar of what's happening, you know, throughout the week. So you can always find some jazz that's being played around town in Charleston. With the orchestra, you know, because, you know, everyone hears that word orchestra and they say, well, what exactly is a jazz orchestra? Well, with our orchestra, we definitely pay homage to the classics and everything, but we do break it up. Like I was saying, we've done shows from Duke Ellington to Little Richard to, you know, and
now Stevie Wonder,
and
right?
Stevie Wonder is going to be on deck, you know, this year. We've done shows that we focused on jazz on television and jazz on in movies. We've done shows that were geared toward little kids. You know, like you never think about it, but the Pink Panther theme song is actually a jazz tune.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Listen. Okay. How about Charlie Brown? It's all a jazz trio. That's all a jazz trio. When you hear the teacher on Charlie Brown, you know, that all of that. That's
okay.
That's a trombonist with a plunger mute.
I should know
you
that.
Should
I have trombonists
yes.
in my family.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yes.
You know,
of course,
so,
I knew that.
So jazz is all over. The theme from James Bond, you know, you know, all of that, you know, it's, you know, this jazz is everywhere. So we encourage everyone to check out the orchestra, and there's always something that's going to connect with you. You know, that's what I really try to do.
Well, thank you, Charlton, for being here today and connecting with the Let's Talk Boomers listeners out there.
We appreciate thank you for having
very
me.
Much. And I would love it if you would play a tune as we leave the segment. And while Charlton gets ready for that, also, Charlton, I'm going to give you double duty here. Can you tell the listener out there what is being given away for the fifth caller?
Oh, for the fifth caller, we have two tickets to that incredible show on January 23rd to see, once again, 10-time Grammy Award winner Arturo Sandoval and his group, along with 2-time Grammy Award winner Diane Schur, who is going to be backed by your very own Charleston Jazz Orchestra.
Wonderful. And that event is this, like you said, January 23rd.
January 23rd at the brand new Gilliard. If you've never been in that facility, it is amazing. It is simply amazing. The acoustics are fantastic, just world class. It's really a gift to the city.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to give out that number, and then Charlton will serenade the end of the show with a tune. That number to get those tickets for the fifth caller is 843-693-0537, 843-693-0537. Thank you, Charlton, again for being here, and check out all the events with the Charleston Jazz Festival. Go to thecharlestonjazzfestival.com, and you can also link to that via charlestonjazz.com. And now here we have Charlton. Thank you. This is Let's Talk Boomers. We'll be right back.
Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group. Deborah Whitfield, 55-plus real estate with Coldwell Banker United Realtors. And Kelly Williams of All Care Living Services.
I'm with Rick Durkee, the Coastal Financial Planning Group. Rick, if one is thinking about selling your home or any property, what are the three most important steps we should take before we list it?
Rebecca, good question, and I appreciate the time on Let's Talk Boomers this morning. Three things that we should look at. Number one, how will this decision affect you from a tax standpoint? What are the tax consequences of selling this piece of real estate? The second thing we should look at is if this real estate was creating income for you of any sort, then how are we going to replace that income, or what will that change in our income plan? And thirdly, we want to look at risk. If we sell this piece of property and then we replace that investment with another form of investment, of whatever the investment is, we need to look at where you're going to place those proceeds and what the risk is of those having values that go up and down. And is that appropriate for your particular financial plan in retirement?
Well, that is great advice, Rick, and I know that our listeners can get even more advice from you every Saturday right here on 94.3 WSC with Retire Right at 9 a.m., and they can check out you and your wonderful team with Coastal Financial Planning Group at cfpgroup.biz or call you at 735-5065. Thank you so much for being here, Rick.
Thank you, Rebecca. Look forward to being on another show soon.
This has been another Let's Talk Boomers, a lifestyle show on tips and trends for you, the baby boomer. I'm your host, Rebecca M. Holtz. Tune in again next Saturday morning at 9:30 for another Let's Talk Boomers. only on News Radio 94.3 WSC.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Boomers, hosted by Rebecca M. Holtz. If you have an event you'd like our listeners to know about, please email letstalkboomers@gmail.com and we'll spotlight it on a future program. Would you like to be a guest on the program or have a topic you'd like Rebecca to cover? Email us at letstalkboomers@gmail.com. Let's Talk Boomers is presented locally by Rick Durkee and the Coastal Financial Planning Group, Michael Washburn, Exit Realty of the Carolinas, and Jerry Garner, Reverse Mortgage Specialist with Town Bank Mortgage, and is heard exclusively on News Radio 94.3 WSC.